Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Thought we might get started with an interview on this segment with Peter Flan. Pete is the president of the French Broad Vignerons, a trade association that was formed here a number of years ago in the mountains of western North Carolina. So let's introduce Pete and find out what's going on with the French Broad Vignerons. Pete?
Hey, how you doing, Chuck? The question of what's happening with the French Broad Vignerons can be a very complicated answer, or can be relatively easy. We'll try the easy part first. We really are trying to establish wine, grapes, ciders as a key product for this region. We wish to establish this region as a place where you can have, will be known for wine tourism, quality wines, excellent opportunities for cider, cheeses, but our big mission really at this point is wine. And we're kind of going in a different direction for the past year, and the fact that we've formed, I guess, what is really a trade association. We have 12 wineries who are now a member of French Broad Vignerons, and we have done quite a few things to start the process of promoting wine in this region. Let me begin by what really got me annoyed and caused me to start this. We were in a restaurant in Asheville, and we had dinner, and it was probably one of the most famous restaurants in Asheville. And I looked at the wine list, and there was a single North Carolina wine on this wine list.
One. Wow.
And then I looked at the cider list, and there was a cider on there. It came from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York. You've got to be kidding.
And the interesting thing about that is, within walking distance of that restaurant, was a quality cidery. So I'm saying, what the heck is going on here? Why is it that this is happening? And the real issue to me seemed to come down to one thing, that people really do not have an image of North Carolina wines as wines of quality and wines that are available, especially to those restaurants that like to source locally. I mean, you go into any restaurant in Asheville, and just about everyone will say, oh, yes, we source locally. We do all this stuff. We use pork is from here, beef is from here, bison is from there. We get cheese from here. We get wine from a distributor. And the distributors don't carry North Carolina wines. This started this little adventure. So we came up with a marketing plan. The marketing plan had quite a few prongs to it. Our association board agreed to the marketing plan and what we wanted to do. And we started taking the marketing plan out to the wineries. And what we basically are undertaking is a series of activities to raise the profile of wine in the region. Probably the most significant one is the establishment with the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad of the McNeil Uncorked, which is a wine experience. It's an experience for people on railroad cars. And what it really is that we have a four-hour-plus trip, and during that trip, people in that particular car, which is the McNeil dining car, will have a three-course dinner. They will be served seven regional wines from the members or the winery members of the French Broad Vignerons.
Now, are these the commercial wineries?
These are the commercial wineries of the French Broad Vignerons, okay, of which there are 12. And so these folks will start the process of really learning what North Carolina wines taste like. They'll have had experience with at least seven of them by the time they get off the train. And that starts, you know, the process of people being able to say, you know, I had this great glass of wine on the train. Where do I buy it? Which is the next problem. So to deal with that problem, we have also established four wine tasting centers around the state or around this region. They're in the process of adding the various regional wines so that people can go to these wine stores and buy wine if they choose to do that. They also can buy it at the vineyard, or they can call the vineyard and ask them to mail it to them. We don't really care how you get it. Just we'd like you to get it. So that's the second prong. The third thing is that we're trying to really work into wine tourism by establishing bus tours from Asheville going out to the wineries. Now, there are going to be, I think the number is 8,600 hotel rooms in the Asheville area. I was told the number is currently 7,000, 1,600 are under construction, which should be open and available within the next 16 months. And these folks are going to be looking for something to do. Asheville brings in close to 9 million tourists a year. And since the airport only brings in 600,000, most of these folks must be coming in by car. Well, if you're coming in by car, then you need something to do. Hey, take a day and take a drive on one of our wine trails. We have two basic wine trails. One is south of Asheville, and that's in Hendersonville and Mill Spring and Tryon. And we have another one basically centered around Morganton and Nebo. And in each one, you have a minimum of four wineries. And then we also have two Muscadine wineries that are a little further out. But, you know, they make Muscadine wine, and the Muscadine grape is the native grape of North Carolina. You can go into a lot of places, and you can try Muscadine wine, and I have. Many times I found that it was maybe a little bit on the sweet side, and I understand what's happening. People are making wine for what they think consumers want. And because it's that way, there are other ways to make Muscadine and Scuppernong wines, but they may not be as available. But with our two new Muscadine wineries, we now have an opportunity for people to try Muscadine blends, sparkling Muscadines, dry Muscadines, semi-dry. And this is a way to look at a piece of North Carolina's heritage and enjoy it. The Muscadine grape was sitting on the shores when Verrazano came here in 1540, and it hasn't disappeared. The only thing it's done is moved further west here into the mountains. And now we have out here in the mountains major opportunities to grow grapes, both Muscadine, vinifera, American hybrids. What we're all trying to do is learn what grapes work well in the mountains, plant those grapes, and let's start really producing with them. Now, we have some very, very successful wineries that are working with all sorts of grapes and producing all sorts of wines. I mean, there are excellent Chardonnays, there are excellent Cabs, there are excellent Merlots. We find some terrific blends out in some of these wineries. And so it's just a matter of getting the folks to the wine. Now, you might say, well, come on, how good can it possibly be? This past week, because I'm doing the presentation for the McNeil Uncorked Wine Experience.
So wait a minute. You're going to be talking on the train with this about the wines and so forth?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, have you made personal visits to all these wineries to learn all about them? So we're getting a little bit of history and a little bit of background on the owners and that kind of stuff?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Wow, that should be very interesting.
I mean, I still have two wineries to do and to go, and that's the two Muscadine shops.
Hmm.
But they're a little further out, and they just came aboard. But I will get there before the first June run.
A couple questions, just as a point of clarification before we go on. Number one is the French Broad Vignerons. We introduced you and the organization, but where can somebody learn more about the French Broad Vignerons?
Well, the easiest place is to go to our website, and we actually have a brand new website that will be up and running by the end of next week. So look around June 5th or beyond that, and you can go to FrenchBroadVignerons.org on the internet, and we have our new website out there. We'll feature all our wineries there. We'll feature how to get to be a member, who's what we do, where we go. There are a lot of things that the French Broad Vignerons do that we haven't even touched on yet. But that's one way. That is the primary way to find out more about the French Broad Vignerons.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the structure of the organization. Is this a volunteer organization, or are these people who are working in the organization paid? Do you have a board of directors? Tell me about the organization.
Yes. The answer to that question is yes. We are an organization that has an elected board consisting of 9 elected members with specific tasks and 2 at-large members. And we also have a social component to this organization. We have the commercial component to this organization. We really need to talk about the evaluation components and how that fits into the Asheville Wine and Food Festival, Ciderfest NC, and a few other things.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Our sponsor for today's program is Arnie's Awesome Argyle Socks, made with local hair sheep wool grown in the mountains of Madison County. Arnie's socks are woven by human toes using finger loom techniques that he taught his seven children. Every evening during supper, their toes are busy under the dinner table weaving the colorful squares that make up the unique diamond-shaped pattern down the sides of Arnie's Awesome Argyle Socks. Pink, green, and purple are the standard colors. The most popular is the favorite. It's a black, white, and chartreuse. The wool is made with a special artificial core of baling twine twisted to give it the strength and endurance of a great work sock for the farmers of Madison County. Arnie's Awesome Argyle Socks. Guaranteed not to rip, ravel, run up your leg, or stretch. Made in the good old USA here in Marshall, North Carolina. Buy some today at Zuma's Coffee Retail Counter. And now back to our regular program. Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Mountain Grapevine. We've got our guest, Pete Fland, who is the president of the French Broad Vignerons. Pete, you talked earlier before the break about this railroad wine experience. Tell me a little more specifics about that, like where is it, how many of them are, that kind
of
thing.
Not a problem. When we were developing this plan to upgrade the familiarity and the knowledge of Western North Carolina wines, I mean, having been to Napa Valley many times, the one thing I said was, gee, the Napa Valley wine train is pretty cool. Can we do something like that here? So I approached the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad, and they jumped at the opportunity. And in fact, when I went down to try and make the case as to why we should do it, they had already decided to do it, so we sat down and said how we're going to do it. And it started out with three cars, or three trips during the summer. June, July, and August, which was basically going to serve as a test experience. We were using the McNeil dining car, which is a 1940s dining car that's been refurbished as if it was a high-end dining car of that period. It is drop-dead gorgeous. There will be three trains going out, one June, one July, one August. I'd like to give you more particulars about that, but in all honesty, the three have already sold out. So what the railroad has decided to do is add two more
wine experiences. Hang on. Let me see if I got this right. We had three different railroad wine experiences all organized and put together, and they're sold out?
They sold out without even advertising.
Oh,
just
my.
We had a few articles in the newspaper. There were a few press releases from Great Smoky Mountain Railroad. We had a little bit on the Lynn Chamberlain on the radio, and next thing you know, we don't have any seats left, so we've added two more.
You've added two more, and what months are they going to be?
There will be one on September 5th and one on November 28th. November 28th could be real interesting because the trees will have dropped, and you get to look at the Smoky Mountains and some of that area from a whole different perspective. Mm. If I could arrange it to snow, that would be perfect, but, you know. So anyway, if you're interested in booking seats, seats are $109. That includes a seven pourings, a three-course meal, about 4.5 hours on the train itself. When you come back and you're interested in buying wines, we have a place right across from the railroad, the Cottage Craftsman. You can buy your wines right there. This has turned into a complete experience, and next year it would be the intention to have, instead of a 40-passenger single car, to have a 100-passenger train going out as a wine experience. And we'll be talking about that as we get through later in the fall as to how this is going to occur. But on all these trains, the only wine that will be poured will be wine from the member wineries of the French Broad Vignerons.
Well, I have to tell you, Pete, this is really exciting because I just couldn't dream that we'd have three trains already booked before the very first one has run. I mean, this shows that there's a huge interest in the mountain counties, or at least in this region, for wine tourism and wine-related things. So that's very exciting.
It is our goal that by the time we are done, this will be a region that people will seek out for wine and beverage tourism, amongst all the other things you can come here to do. But by upgrading the impression and the understanding of North Carolina wines. That just adds another dimension to this whole tourism piece. You've got the mountains, you've got Asheville, you've got all sorts of events here. Now we're adding this. So I think this is going to be a really tremendous change.
Well, we certainly can use the tourism in this
can
part.
Can I give you the address for 1 second?
Oh,
if you
absolutely
want to book your tickets, Great Smoky Mountain Railroad is gsmr.com. You go there, and then you can click through buying your tickets, and that's how you get them.
Okay. All right, well, let's follow up a little bit on the tourism angle on this. I recall you were mentioning earlier about these wine trails. Can you give us a little more detail on the wine trail aspect of the tourism?
Wine trails are somewhat a loose construct at this time, but of the wineries and our commercial components, two of them have specific wine trails. One is the group from Morganton and Nebo, which is Silver Fork, South Creek, Bell Nico, and Lake James. They have a wine trail. It's a very nice, compact wine trail right off of Route 40. I mean, you can do that whole wine trail in 2.5 hours. It's not far between the wineries. It's a good deal. There's another wine trail to the south, and that features St. Paul, Burnt Shirt, Mountain Brook, Parker Bins, and that's our four from there. They have a functioning wine trail, and those four wineries are relatively close together. Addison Farms can join that trail quite easily. They're located in Leicester. Biltmore, which is a major tourist stop, just going through the gate, getting to the winery, is a wine trail in itself. But they offer a great deal of wine and a great opportunity to taste a variety of wines at their tasting room up in Antwerp Village. We also have two wineries that are the Muscadine houses, and they're further east and a little bit south. And as soon as we can find a couple more Muscadine wineries to get together, we can form a Muscadine trail, which I think is really something that is really needed. To further promote this tourism thing, we have been working with the Mountain Express. They have been wonderful for us. I mean, I cannot tell you what a resource they have been. And we are now working to put together an insert that will appear regularly in the Mountain Express, where you get a 1 or 2 page section that you can take out, has a map of the region. All the wineries in the region are highlighted, as are the cideries and the creameries, where you'll find little bits and pieces of information about the wineries. And we hope that that will appear starting in July. As of today, that's what I've been told. We're looking to have this happen in July. So that is a real big plus, because it puts a lot of tourism information in one place. Now, that's not to say there aren't other places to go for that information. I mean, the Convention Bureau runs a wonderful site. But, I mean, this is real simple. You pull it out of the newspaper, take it with you, you're good to go.
You keep it folded up in the back seat of your car or in a glove compartment, and you're good to go anytime you've got a weekend out. Love it. Okay, well, now, let me ask you back on some of the topics that we mentioned earlier. You said something about judging things. Is this for the Asheville Wine and Food Festival coming up?
The French Broad Vignerons operate the commercial wine competition at the Asheville Wine and Food Festival. This is our second year of doing the commercial side. We have been doing wine competition there now for 4 years. We have trained our people to participate in that. Not everybody does. Not everybody wants to. But we have 5 members who are certified by the American Wine Society for judging, who are also members of our judging panels. One of those people organizes the judges' training. If someone wanted to come aboard and see if they can handle wine evaluation, they will be welcome to do so next year, as we're now 2/3 finished with our training program for this year. So, I mean, we just can't move forward with that for a new person. But next year, if you're a member starting sometime in January, you'll have approximately four and a half hour sessions. And in each one of those, we'll take you through the various stages, tasting and evaluating wine. We'll give you some experiences with tasting extremely good and extremely awful wines. And as a way so that you can start to train yourself to know the difference in what makes a good one and what makes perhaps less than a good one. And if someone really does well in these training sessions, they will be invited to participate in some of our wine evaluation. We have had a couple of people reach out to us about doing other wine evaluations for other organizations and other events. We are open to that, but our primary one is the Asheville Wine and Food Festival, and that brings in, I guess, probably close to 100, 150 different wines to be evaluated. And last year, some of the wines were absolutely knockout. They were just wonderful. Mm. So besides that, we also have a variety of experiences from members who do not either wish to judge or who don't wish to do some other things. And we're a very social organization. We try and get together. We find a way that when we get together, we actually drink some wine. I'm sure you're surprised by that, but we actually do that.
Oh, no. Tell me it's not so.
And then when we have some of our meetings, we have a lot of winemakers who are there. And one of the interesting things is that people start bringing their wine and saying, taste this for me. Taste this for me. What do you think? What do you feel about this? And so it really turns into a lot of fun. I mean, we do other things. We go on trips. We visit wineries. We have potluck dinners. But it's all about coming to understand and enjoy good wine and cider. We also judge Ciderfest NC. This year we will have, I guess, 17 or 18 cideries involved. Each one has a broad base of ciders that they put out, and our judging team will also evaluate those and ribbon them as well. So, and I mean, this is just a nice thing to do. And this is a part of the business that we really think needs to be developed and brought along, and that's what we intend to do.
Well, Pete, it sounds like a really exciting organization. Sounds like you're staying pretty busy keeping track of all these things and instigating new ways to expose people to North Carolina wines.
Well, thank you.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!